Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Welcome to the After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Daniel Oler.
We've had a two-week hiatus, but we are back in full swing this week with the Bachelorette drama and all the latest from the wacky Big Brother house. We'll also be discussing some random reviews. I'll talk Lachey's Bar and Hollywood Cycle. Dano is going to hit you with Tough Enough and Million Dollar Listing. All of that, some news on Bachelor in Paradise, and a lot more. Dano, it was a fantastic week in reality TV, but before we get started, where can everyone find us online?
You can hit us up on Twitter, at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, the After Reality TV Podcast.
I'm on Twitter, at SpencerK11. Dano, you are?
At Daniel Oler, O-E-H-L-E-R.
And don't forget, if you get a chance, hit us up with some feedback on iTunes or wherever you're downloading from. Love to hear it. Dano, what's the good word?
We're wrapping up with the Bachelorette, maybe starting with Bachelor Paradise coming up, right? Beginning of August.
Yeah, we got 17 days, but who's counting?
No, who's counting? Take a little break. Rumors of the next Bachelor being kind of floated out there. So.
Yeah, I saw that they were rumoring Ben might be, but I also saw him quoted as saying that He would have to consider it. He wasn't sure that he would want to.
We'll see. We'll see.
So
he looks like a bachelor. I know we'll probably talk about this later, but he looks like basically like if ABC was going to genetically build a bachelor, that's what he would look. Ben would be that guy they build.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into this. We skipped last week, but last week was a high moment in the drama on this show. We had this – Sean is let in on the coitus between Caitlin and Norm Cordnick. And obviously, Sean not real happy about it. And my favorite thing about the show right now is that he refuses to call Nick by his name.
Is that your favorite thing?
Just as the other guy. I was trying to get the other guy to start trending on Twitter the other day, but it just wasn't going. It wasn't happening.
Because the other people have respect for him, Spencer. He has a name.
Well, no, the other people have respect for Sean.
No, Nick too. Why not? Nick hasn't really done anything wrong. He's just kind of playing, he's just playing a better game than everybody.
It's not a game, Dan. It's love.
Yeah, sure.
Team Sean.
Do you think whoever Caitlin picks, they'll be together by the start of the next Bachelor season?
Yes.
No, I think they'll be broken up by the end of Bachelor in Paradise.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think they'll be broken up before the Mintel or after the final rose?
No.
Don't make it that far.
They'll put on a facade or whatever. They'll make it look like things are going fine.
Okay. So on that previous episode, that's when Sean pulled the "I'm getting the first rose at the rose ceremony" and then asked for her to go to chat. References the other guy a few times, and then finally Scraggly Jared and his terrible patchy beard goes home.
That guy was a nice guy. I don't know why she keeps getting rid of the nice guys. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I think Sean's a nice guy personally. He just has beef with one person. He's nice. He's boys with everyone else.
I don't know. He seems like he's been. I don't know if he's a. I'm not saying he's not a nice guy, but he does. He's very like needy. He's like always like, "Oh, let's talk. Let me pull you aside. I didn't get enough time to talk to her with it." He's like very like stringy. Like, yeah. Meanwhile, Ben and that the other guy were like, oh yeah, sure, just part of the process. I get it. You have to talk to other guys. I got it.
I see what you did there. The other guy. I will go on a limb and say Nick, not a nice guy. But what?
Why is Nick not a nice guy?
That's just what I think about him.
Why?
I'm entitled to my opinion.
I get it, but why is it your bit? I guess I'm trying to find the inner workings. We're on a podcast that's audio. We need to figure out these things.
Well, I feel like Nick is just sleazy. I feel like he has ulterior motives. I don't think he's there, Dan, for the right reasons. And yeah, I mean, I didn't like him last season or last time he was on. Didn't feel like it was really appropriate to put Andy on blast, even though I didn't really care for Andy the way he did. I just don't like the guy. I think he's just I think he's kind of a snake in the grass.
Hey, you be careful when you say that. Now, here in Austin, especially North Austin,
there's a cobra on the list.
We're on snake watch right now, so that's not funny.
Okay. So, this is when we start finding out, leading into this episode, about this whole scenario of Sean being Eskimo brothers with some country star from Nashville. I've been dying to find out who it is. I keep Googling it and waiting for it to arise in the tabloids. Have you had any stumble across anything of that in that regard?
No, I haven't really looked into it.
Oh, but come on, Dan.
I mean, Nashville's a small community. I'm sure he's, he's probably a trainer to a couple of, like, up-and-coming country stars.
It's not like it was Brad Paisley or somebody. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I mean, you can't throw a dead cat in Nashville without hitting a country star.
A rising country star?
Yeah. So,
I hate it when I throw dead cats, too. You know, that's just...
Well, we get the snakes out.
So she wants to know why she only hears bad things about Nick from the other guys and why nothing about Sean. And Nick can't explain why all the other guys think that Sean is the front runner, which that was interesting to hear because you typically don't hear that type of thing on the show, right? That everyone else thinks that someone's the front runner, or at least you don't see that come out in the open.
Yeah.
So, the last thing we saw last week before we got to this week was Sean calling the front desk, asking for the room number of Nick Vile. And Sean shows up. He starts tearing into him. And
now, was this call for – you're saying that Sean's a nice – or Nick – you think Sean's a nice guy and Nick's the bad guy. But Nick's just enjoying his vacation. He's in Ireland. He's just doing his thing. And Sean comes out and searches him out.
That's just my thoughts, my opinions. I'm sticking with it.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where this evil Nick guy comes from.
Because he's just evil. He's vile, Nick Vile. The whole
Sean's a sweetheart because he's trying to intimidate a guy he's like twice the size of.
I don't frown upon that here. This is when this whole Eskimo Brothers thing really blows up. Meanwhile, Ben H. and Caitlin are out at a castle. They've been dating all this time, and it's not until they go on this date, Dan, I found this really interesting, that they knew each other's ages.
Yeah.
How do you not, somehow at least put together that?
Yeah, when you're dating, 10 guys, little details like that are probably going to fall off every now and then.
Well, where their hometown is and what their job is and what they like to do and their kids, if they have any. You might know how old they are, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Minor detail.
But she's a solid 3 years older, the older woman in this scenario with Ben H. And before you know it, it's fantasy suite time. And they're in this old castle. Usually these fantasy dates are in pretty opulent places, very nice. I understand this is an old castle. It was probably the crappiest fantasy suite room I've ever seen on the show.
Well, I mean, we're ignoring the whole fact that they were quarantined in Ireland for 3 weeks.
Yes, and then they were quarantined in Utah.
So I don't know. I mean, if their travel arrangements seem a little off. Like last couple seasons of the Bachelor, they've bounced around. They'd be in Ireland for a week for afternoon, then they'd be Spain and France and whatnot. But
I think those budgets are shrinking.
I guess if you're gonna fly them over there, might as well do at least go to like London or something.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting after Nick's date. We got a lot of like morning after. Never seen that before on the show. And we saw a little morning after on all of them except for Sean's date.
Maybe. I don't know. There could be something to that. Maybe they're showing that Nick
I think that's editing, but
maybe they're trying to edit that Nick and Caitlin are like can act like a real couple, you know, have coffee in the morning and read the paper.
They're trying to get America to come around on Nick. I think largely, percentage-wise, America does not like Nick. Not necessarily Team Sean, but doesn't like Nick. Anyhow, they go on a golf date. This one's a new one, right, Dan? And they make him wear a somewhat ridiculous golf outfit. And then they play Truth or Dare, and he has to go streaking. But you know from Jump Street what's going to happen here, right? But you don't know that when he pulls his pants down, he's going to be wearing tights, full-length tights, because he's out of underwear.
Didn't know that.
This doesn't happen every time on The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's hard to pack a lot that much underwear, especially when you're in Ireland. Who's going to wash it when you spend 3 weeks in Ireland? Who's doing your laundry?
Craft services? I don't know. Is that included with the buffet?
I don't know, man.
Who knows? But that night, she actually confronts him about the Eskimo Brothers story. And he's straight with her, and he says he'd already gone over to Nick's and confronted him. And then he starts going off on Nick, telling her that she's delusional and acts like a 16-year-old girl, which may have been going a little too far. Not going to say I didn't like it. May have been going a little too far.
Here's Caitlin, right? Do you think she's concerned that he is Eskimo Brothers? I mean, with someone? Like, is that a big deal?
No. I mean, is he not Eskimo Brothers now with Nick also?
Yeah, exactly. And probably. Just saying. Chris?
Jared?
I mean, how many people
Scraggle Rock?
What happens when they go on Bachelor in Paradise? Like, everyone's asking my brother.
So they go to the fantasy suite, and all we see is him leaving the next morning and saying, "See you soon." No, like, hug, no kiss, no embrace, no I love you.
They made it seem like it didn't go right in that fantasy suite. That's what editing
was. I think that was editing for us.
But, like, she didn't kiss him. Like, there wasn't, like, a long kiss or hug at the in the doorway, like, with Nick. I don't know if they're – maybe Nick's the winner and they're trying to make us like Nick more or something like that. But Sean didn't –
It certainly seems like Nick is the winner. But I will say this. Usually going in to the final episode, I have a pretty good idea who's going to get picked.
Yes.
I really don't know on this one. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, usually 9 times out of 10, I'm positive that's one or the other. Anyhow, let's talk about this confrontation that takes place out right after his date. He's leaving the fantasy suite, crossing the parking lot, and who does he see? Good old Nick. And now Nick wants to do the leaning into Sean. But guess what? Nick's not so good at this game.
I like how during this conversation, Sean pulled up his sleeves. Did you notice that? He was wearing like a white t-shirt, and he took his sleeves and he like pulled them up to his shoulders so his guns would be showing while Nick was talking to him.
Pop those veins, baby. Pop them. Pop it. So Sean shuts him down. And the next thing we know at the rose ceremony, Caitlin, she walks into the room, proclaims she is in love, something new, then leaves the room in tears immediately.
Again.
Because she's not sure, or because she's so upset about what she's getting ready to do?
I think she's not sure. I really do think she probably never wanted to make the decision. Just, for those final three.
Well, they were in Utah, right? Can women marry multiple men like men can marry multiple women?
Hey, it's 2015. Anything can happen.
Actually, they were still in Ireland then, right? Utah was later in the day.
Utah was the worst.
You ever been?
No.
Bear Park City's nice.
I'm in the Utah portion of the show was the worst, but we'll go on.
Nick gets the first row. Sean gets the second row. Ben H is heartbroken. But one of the classiest, best exits maybe ever on this show, the things he had to say to Caitlin, he went out looking good, smelling like roses.
I think that's what put me over the top that he was going to be the next Bachelor. Like, he didn't have a breakdown. He kind of kept it together. He's like, this is what's best for you. He didn't let her blame, don't let her take the blame.
Right.
And
I had been wanting Sean to be the next Bachelor, but there's never been someone that goes to the final two that ends up being the Bachelor or Bachelorette. Really ever. I don't think there's been people that got picked and then didn't work out. Jen Schaft, Emily Maynard. But don't think that's ever happened. So it's time for the way they've shifted the season around this year, it's kind of hard to tell exactly where they're going to go. But
keeping you on your toes.
Yeah, heading into this final stretch, Dan, let me ask you this: could ABC have asked for anything better than two finalists that hate one another? And then they get a number three who's the nice guy on the way home. I mean, could they ask for anything better here?
It's almost like they formulated it.
Well, they didn't make these guys hate each other. That just happened.
No, they didn't, but they could have helped keeping them along. Who knows? No, but it's a nice lead up to the final that the two guys hate each other.
And I mentioned nice guy leaving Nick. Or not Nick, Ben.
Ben.
He's even responsible, Dan. You know what I noticed? Gets in the car to do his exit interview. Wearing a seatbelt the whole time.
Hey. That's Bachelor material there.
Yeah, safety in the back seat. So a decathlon of events capped by a cage fight between these two dudes. I mean, it's ongoing.
So did they take the same flight home? They had to, right?
I'm sure there was a bunch of crew members too. So, and Sean's got his producer guy that he is the only guy he trusts. Remember,
someone he can cry to. Like, yeah, she said she loved me.
So we're back in the States, and it's not a hometown date. It's a hometown and a hotel date, but not in your hometown. And I'm thinking, Nick's family's like, oh, Nick's falling in love again, and we got to meet the girl that he's going to marry, wants to marry again for the second year in a row. This is just like consecutive years. Isn't that a little weird for you?
Did they ever say why they're in Utah?
No idea.
hey, Nick, you have 20 members in your family? We're going to fly them out to Utah. Good times. Exactly.
And one of those family members is little sister Bella.
I'd be crying too if I had to spend my spring. It was probably her spring break, and they're like, "Hey, we got a free vacation to Utah." Yeah,
she did come out swinging just like she did at Andy. Do you love my brother? And of course, she got the runaround from Miss Caitlin. What I noticed on this date, though, Dano, Caitlin drinking, nobody else drinking.
I didn't notice that. I remember Caitlin drinking, but.
I kept looking in every shot. No one had a drink in front of them or in their hand. I did read somewhere that maybe Nick's mom was in the background or something drinking, but maybe there's some of those closet drinkers. They don't want everybody to know that booze is up.
Well, your second go around, you learn tools of the trade.
Yeah.
And so you know when to pop a quick drink and when not to.
Yeah, and maybe the mom could have used a drink because she was on the struggle bus. She was an emotional mess there on that date. Sean's family date, he has two older sisters, his dad, and his aunt there.
I think that's something they glossed over, that there's more to. Why wasn't Sean's mom there?
They didn't mention, are Sean's mom and dad married? Or
no, he said his mom couldn't make it.
I know he said that.
But there's got to be, I think Sean's mom's not down with the situation.
Oh.
I think she's not down with her son prancing around Bachelor Nation.
I was wondering if the parents either weren't married or don't get along, or
he would have brought it up if they were divorced. He'd be like, you know, it's always a sad story when your parents get divorced, even though like half of all marriages end in divorce these days. But I think they glossed it over. I think Sean's mom's not down with this.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay. I would ask you more, but there's not really more to ask because we don't know anything about her.
No, but it's funny how they just glossed over her. Like, basically, like, she doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Well, and Caitlin wasn't drinking alone on this date, and it was maybe one of the most seamless fitting ends I've seen on a date in our hometown. She really seemed to hit it off with his sisters, which for Sean, that was a telling sign. Finally tells her he loves her. And at that point, the way she responded made me really lock into the, I have no idea who's going to win this thing. It's usually, like I said, usually pretty obvious who we picked, but this year I have no idea. If you were a betting man, Dano, where would your dollars be?
I'd go with Nick.
I think I probably would too, but I'm gonna go with my heart and bet pennies on my boy.
I don't know why you like Sean so much.
I've been Team Sean since week one. That's why I'm sticking with my guy.
I know, but like the more you learn about him, do you like him more? Like, I understand on week one and being Team Sean, but then like what happens when you learn more about him? You see it act, you're like, oh Jesus!
I'd kick it with Sean. I don't mind Sean.
Yeah. Okay. To each their own.
So, quick check of our stats over with our friends on fantasy4reality.com, our Bachelorette Season 11 league. It's been a tight battle all season, Dano. But
I think it's over, right?
You no longer have any players in the game, but we do have the Mentel All, which does net points for guys that are no longer on the show. I do have a 20-point lead. So after 10 weeks of this show, my Carla Walk squad, 3,450 points to Dan's two girls, one rose squad, 3,430. That is a head-on battle right there.
I'm going to be pissed when I don't get my Brandon Brody points.
Brady is his name, Brady. I think is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But, let's go ahead. Or anything else on the Bachelorette for you before we bounce on over to Big Brother?
I'm sad enough that it's official that Brandon and Brady have broken up. Did you see that?
Who's Brenda?
Bryn. Is her name Bryn?
Britt.
Britt. See? That's why I had 10 weeks ago. I forget their names.
I didn't know they broke up. Where'd you hear that?
Oh, I think they released a statement or whatever you do when you break up on The Bachelorette.
They couldn't stay together long enough for the Mentel All?
No. They're done.
Huh. I wonder if Brady will be on the Mentel All.
I mean, they might both be on it just for you know, they'll let them talk and whatnot, but they are officially broken up.
Talky, talky, talky. Let's jump into the Big Brother. We haven't gotten since we started. I think we only did like the first two nights of Big Brother. We met the cast, and then after that, we've been on hiatus, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So in the first 2 weeks, the first week we saw Jace, who I didn't mind. He was a little bit of a big personality. Go home in week one. And then in week two, we saw, I'm trying to remember who the HOH was. Shelly was HOH. We saw Shelly sent home Devon. which Devon was a little loud and opinionated for me, so I wasn't sad to see her go home. Largely, though, the season's cast, they're pretty tolerable for me. I got a couple people that I like. A couple different people are competitive.
Who do you like?
Probably my favorite is Austin, the wrestler.
Okay.
I don't want to like Clay, but I don't mind him at all. I don't want to like him because he's an Aggie. But how about you, Dano? Who are you on board with?
I like Austin and his.
Well, write this down. We both like one of the same people.
I'm not against Austin. And one guy who's kind of growing on me is John.
Johnny Mac is amazing. He reminds me of Norm MacDonald. Not in looks, but the way he talks.
I don't like the way he screams at the
interviews. I love it.
Like, he grows on me. I like his personality, but it bugs me. Like, could you imagine him being your dentist? I'd be like, what's going on?
Exactly. Oh, like, my gosh, you have a cavity.
You got like two molars out in the back, and we're going to have to take them out. So those are the guys. I guess the girls, I like the twins. I think what they're doing is fun.
I enjoy their exchanges between one another when they're changing clothes. Like,
and again, I like them too, but their noises are, they have to, that
you need to stop noise. Eating and I need to start eating and
yeah. Hide your tooth.
You need to be more spunky in the house.
Yeah. And I got nothing against James, I guess, but all the other girls seem kind of like they seem not doing much right now.
I kind of like Shelly, and actually Vanessa, not minding her so much. She seems to really be playing the game, which I like. I admire that, even in players that I don't like. But yeah, so last week we sent home Devon by a pretty much of a landslide vote. She totally blew the thing last week when they were playing for. She won the let's talk about this, Dan. She won the special power by answering the phone and got to sit two people out of the vote.
Three people out of the vote.
And she totally blows it. She sets people out that would have supported her.
I agree. No, I agree with you that it was when I first saw that I was like, why are those three people? I would never pick those three people.
I'm just trying to remember who they are right now.
No, one was the guy who's on the block this week, Jeff. It was like just random people like Jeff, maybe Becky or something like that. And I don't know.
Well, and she was aligned with that side of the house, though.
But it made me but then you saw the vote, and I think almost everybody. How many votes? She only got like two votes.
She got two from Jason and Audrey.
Yeah, and so I think she was.
Excuse me. Yeah, Meg got Jason and Audrey's vote.
So I think she would have gone out either way, but it was a weird thing that those were the three people she took out. She volunteered. She told to not vote.
Yeah,
I think she was going home. No matter what happened, she was going to go home. But I agree with you that it was weird those three people.
So she went out making some noise. She gets in there with Julie and refers to the twins as the Thickums. Or no, she called Liz the Thickum, and Julie one of them the Thickum. I was like, that's a little rude.
Yeah.
This week it's been all about the Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, and. Just talking about Gronk.
Let's talk about Gronk.
How are his teammates just going to chastise him for how cheesy this is if they see some of these videos he's done?
I think it's just the Gronk is who the Gronk is. Like, he's probably the only one who could get away with this kind of what he does.
Well, I mean, who else can put out this persona of just being like, hey, I'm the party guy. I'm the party guy. And it's fine.
I think he's the only one. I think he's the only one who's able to pull it off.
He's almost like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he doesn't get in trouble. He kind of And when he does talk, he says like the right things too. So he doesn't come off as a bumbling idiot. He just He just kind of parties. He wins Super Bowls and he catches touchdown passes. So he kind of he's found a way to balance everything.
Do you remember Party Boy from Jackass back in the day? Chris Pontius, he'd go in and tear off his pants and start dancing around in the thong scores. That's like Gronk. I like to party. Play music. Come on, let's dance.
But he's not like Johnny Football, where Johnny Football can't play football and he parties.
This is true.
Gronk can catch touchdown passes and party.
Gronk's got at least one Super Bowl ring, and he's a Pro Bowl guy. Anyhow, his first game of the week was teeter-totter beer pong for these guys. Austin ended up going on to win that along with
Vanessa,
who won in a tie break. Vanessa and Austin came in as the HOHs. I'm trying to remember who the nominees were. Obviously, the Vanessa's nominees were James and Jason. Johnny Mack.
Yeah.
And Jason and Meg, I think, were Austin's nominees. Is that correct?
Jason and Meg. Yeah, we're on the same team.
They were upset. They felt like it was a weak team that they had put out there. Yeah. But little did I know that Johnny Mack was going to try to throw the comp. He didn't have to because James was so terrible at it. I thought it was cool. They actually got to see humans in their backyard. Never before seen in a game where there were human props.
Yeah, that's breaking barriers.
Foam party, breaking those barriers one at a time. Of course, Johnny Mack this week, veto comp. He kills it again. This guy's when he plays, like for real plays, he's pretty good at these comps. Won two vetoes in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the one side of the house that's in the dark going into this is really bummed that Audrey's playing because they think that they have a plan to backdoor her. The power side has different ideas, but then it kind of goes sideways when Johnny Mack wins this tumbling human dice game, which I think we saw just last season.
Yeah, we saw it last season.
I remember somebody who's really good at it last season. I can't recall.
Devin lost it. Remember, Devin was that big, big muscular black guy.
Yeah, I remember him.
And he was supposed to be like awesome, and he ended up losing, and that kind of sealed his fate.
Okay. I felt like maybe he was really good at it until the last round or something like that.
That might have been it.
Somebody was really good.
That might have been it.
Yeah. So Johnny Mack wins the veto, and it turns into a series of Gronk parties from there on out. Jeff then seals what may be his own fate coming down the stretch. And while we're podcasting on Thursday night, so that the show is actually wrapping up right now while we were podcasting. So someone has been voted off between Jeff and James. And let's talk about Jeff here for a minute, Dano. Jeff, this guy is highly unintelligent. He's going around throwing people under the bus, throws Austin under the bus to everyone. And he just keeps running around and saying things, and he has no idea who are really his friends and who are not his friends, or who are in his alliance and who are not in his alliance. Aren't those some things that you'd want to think hard about before you ran around running your mouth?
Yeah, I think the one different thing in this season is that there's no like real alliances. There's like close friends, and they're borderline with a bunch of other people. Like the first couple seasons I've seen, there's usually a real alliance that forms at the very beginning. And this season, there's not having been really strong alliances. It's more like, hey, we're kind of like a group, but there's a couple of fringe people that might fall in between both groups and stuff. And I think Jeff just got bit by there not being any really hardcore alliances. It's just a bunch of people who are kind of still feeling each other out.
Yeah, which I think is the smart way to go in and play, is feeling people out.
Yeah. But,
so the alliance right now, though, is tentatively Clay, Shelley, Austin, Vanessa, and one of the twins, two of the twins, when they get in, to give them six.
That's what could be. Yeah, that's what's kind of growing.
Yeah, so it's five people right now, possibly six, which six is a great number for an alliance. Last season, at the time, they had an alliance with nine, ten people in it.
Well, that's what kind of got Audrey kind of in the situation that she is, right? Because she wanted to have alliances. It was like, what, 16 people in the house? There were like 15 people in this alliance, basically. Yeah. So cool. I think there's the other mini alliance, right, with James, Jeff, Jason, and Meg. And Meg's kind of a borderline.
Maybe Becky?
Maybe. I think Becky and Meg are kind of trying to figure out where they fall.
Gotcha. Oh, and someone I want to talk about was Audrey. I feel like she's, even though everybody's still talking about her, I feel like she's in a really good spot now, because the battle lines have clearly been drawn between sides of the house. And if the non-power side right now, whatever you want to call them, the non-Sixth Sense alliance, if they gain power, they're going to go after somebody that got rid of some of their people. They're not going to go after Audrey, and vice versa. So I think Audrey ends up sliding by for several weeks here now, slides out of the watchful eye.
I think she'll always be in the back pocket. I agree with you that I think she'll slide for a while, but I think people realize they'll get rid of more important people before they get rid of her.
Right.
But I don't see her winning.
Yeah. So, Dan, would you want to go on a good old Gronk family cruise?
Not if I was a 25-year-old female.
I was wondering if it was a cruise they were hosting, or if you were only going on a cruise with, like, the five Gronk brothers and dad.
Yeah, I don't know. But if I was a 25-year-old single white female, I would not go on that cruise.
Meg was all excited, thinking there was going to be lots of boys there.
Yeah, good for her, I guess.
I don't think there's a lot of jocks there standing around looking for, hey, where are the hipster chicks at?
Yeah, but if you're on a cruise with...
jocks don't really go together, I don't think.
If you're on a cruise of just, you know, six guys and one girl, like, she'll get plenty of attention.
Yeah, and I think one of Gronk's younger brothers still plays for Kansas State. They all played in college. Obviously, Gronk made it the furthest. But I'm enjoying this season of Big Brother so far. It's fairly light, but yeah, I like it. I don't have anything more than I kind of like it. Where are you at, Dan? I know we already talked about that. You kind of like. Kind of like Austin, maybe like James, but where are you at holistically on this?
I'm still waiting. I'm open to it. It'll be interesting to see it's got potential. You know, it's kind of the problem with Big Brother is like they're kind of limited in what they can do. They're kind of breaking up the game a little bit, so that's nice to see. At least I'm trying to do different things, like these celebrity games or whatever they're calling it. Is, you know. B.O.B. takeovers. That's kind of, you know, it's kind of nice. Maybe eventually they'll add something to the game.
Right.
Like you thought, like the one last week where you got to eliminate three people, you're like, oh, that could be a really big thing, but it ended up not really being that big of a deal.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if they figured out a way to work that back in again.
Yeah. Well, especially when you get to like small, when it's like 10 people.
Yeah. Let's take a little quick look over at our Big Brother 17 fantasy scorecard in the game that we're playing here. Daniel, you're off to a solid start after I won week one here, partially through week three. You got 130 to 105 edge. So we'll keep on rolling. James, I have James this week. You have John. So one of us will be down yet another soldier. Keep you posted on that.
Yeah, long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Dano, random review time. I love random reviews where we kind of take you through some of the new shows that we've been watching. I'll bat lead off here. So last night I watched this new show on A&E. It comes on right after Wahlburgers, and it's definitely a page right out of Wahlburgers. You have Drew and Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees and other reality TV fame. And this sounds cheesy. I was always a Nick Lachey. I'm not a fan of like his music or anything. He always seemed like an all right guy, like a normal guy that was a celebrity. Nothing too groundbreaking here. They want to open a bar. They can't decide if they want to open a bar / restaurant or how many bars are going to be in there. Nick's flying in from L.A. He and his brother have houses right next to one another in Cincinnati. And Nick keeps talking that when he and Vanessa are going to move back to Cincinnati, his wife being Vanessa Manillo. And I'm just like, and he's like, yeah, we don't want to raise our kids in L.A. I'm like, Vanessa Manillo has kind of got some sort of career. I don't know. Nick spoke to like where his work is in L.A. and New York. I'm curious as what Nick's work is these days. I don't know. Does he host a song competition or something on TV?
Yeah, I've seen him. He does this karaoke show on, or not a choir show or something like that on NBC.
He hosts the Sing-Off.
The Sing-Off. Yeah. And I think he has a couple hosting gigs.
Okay. So, interesting for me, at least on this one. I kept wondering what happened to the other just douchey dude from 98 Degrees. He shows up. You could have put this guy in a lineup of 200 people and you would have tried and said, pick out which one of these guys was in a boy band that was well known. You would never, ever, ever, ever pick this guy, Dan. He looks like, I don't know. I can't even describe him, but I don't even know his name.
Are you saying he was in 98 Degrees?
Yeah, there was three guys in 98 Degrees.
There's four guys in 98 Degrees.
There were four?
Yeah, remember the guy who looked, there was three guys who looked totally the same. And then there was that one guy who had like beach blonde hair. He looked like basically like someone's older brother. You're like, why are you in this show? Why are you in 98 Degrees?
Yeah, well, it's the one guy that doesn't look like anybody. And he's kind of overweight now. And
Justin Jeffrey.
Yeah, you're right. I don't recognize this one other guy that kind of looks like a Lachey brother.
Yeah, there's three guys who look like they're like related. They weren't. But then there was this one guy who like had bleached hair, and he was always like, he looked like he couldn't sing or couldn't dance. He couldn't do anything. I don't even know why he was in the show.
I was just curious just now about how old these guys are.
Well, that one guy who is 42 who.
Yeah, well, they're two of them are 42. Nick's 41. Drew's the youngster at 38.
So they weren't spring chickens when they were in 98 Degrees. I mean, that was what, 10 years ago?
97. So 18 years ago.
Yeah,
is when they started.
Yeah, they ended in 2002. So
18 years ago, Drew Lachey was 20 years old when they started, though. So they were, and the other guys were 20 under 25. Which is still, I guess, I don't know how old are boy bands normally. I guess most of them are around that age with maybe one guy that's a little younger. Anyhow, off of the boy band topic. Anyhow, these guys just, they're demoing a bar or demoing up space and they're trying to get a bar built. It's worth a watch if you have some time. Tell me about Tough Enough, Dan. I've always wanted to watch Tough Enough. I watch a lot of shows on USA Network. I see it advertised, but I never really watched it. And I used to be really big into wrestling.
Yeah, well, Tough Enough it's been around for a while, and it's back. It was off for, I think, like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It was like an online show one time. Like, The Miz, like, that's where he got his break into wrestling was on Tough Enough. It used to be on MTV. It was on there for a couple of years. Then it moved to USA, and then it took a couple of years off. And now it's back. And it's like I said, I like it because it's actually the way it's like set up is really cool. So it's live voting. So they tell you who are the three nominees are. Mm-hmm. And then basically there's like online voting, and that happens for 10 minutes, and then the person gets voted off. So that's kind of cool. But at the same time, the contestants, they watch the show, I think, during this live voting that's going on. So they know how it's being like filmed and what story is being told, which I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's a reality show. So they all live in the same, you know, these contestants are trying to get contracts for the WWE's like minor league, the next system or whatever they want to call it. And it's usually each week is broken up into like two challenges. One is like a physical challenge, which could be like running or lifting or swimming or something like that. And then they have a wrestling challenge where they're kind of teaching them how to wrestle. And then they'll have a challenge that goes with that. And then there's like, and then after that, and so the judges who are Hulk Hogan, Daniel Bryan, some chick named Paige. I don't know who she is. They basically watch the show as we watch the show. And then they pick the people who they want to get rid of. So it's all real time. But, you know, this one, the show you watch is like half of it's real time. And half of it's, I guess, what happened during that week. So isn't I like
Paige,
that part.
Isn't Paige one of the girls from that show that's on E, the Total Divas Diva? Show, the twins? Is Paige one of the twins?
No, she's not one of the twins. Those are, that's not, she's not, I don't think she's one of those. I tried watching the Total Divas. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I've never watched
Total Divas. It does, sometimes the show feels a little rushed because it's, you know, like I said, it's like happening in real time. So they have to, you know, they're trying to, they move along and stuff like that. But the cool part is, so they have these contestants and the judges are like actively trying to get rid of like these contestants. But the judges, they can only nominate people. They can't like vote them off. So this Paige chick keeps putting up the same girl who won't get eliminated. And she just has it out for her. And it's kind of funny. And she's like, I'm going to keep putting her up there until she gets voted off. So I like it. It's good drama. We're like halfway through. A couple of these people, I think they could be pretty good wrestlers, a couple of them. But, you know, I've always been – I have, you know, I was really big in wrestling in high school and early college. And then once WCW folded, I kind of got out of it a little bit.
Yeah, that was your problem. You watched the crappy one. I watched the
traditional wrestling.
Not this
attitude wrestling that was.
What do you think the NWO was? That wasn't attitude wrestling.
They did it with class.
You know what they did it with? They did it with their way off the air because no one was watching it.
Well, by the time it got done, the NWO was already that storyline had run its course.
That was like the PG wrestling versus the PG-13 wrestling on WWE.
Yeah, so I was a WCW guy. It's funny too because Booker T. You know, it's also the trainers are Billy Gunn, Booker T.
Oh,
and
Billy Gunn's on. Oh, I might have to watch now.
And I think was it Lita or something like that. And so those are people who were big when I was watching wrestling. So now they're like old and they're trainers and stuff, but they're still like ripped.
Yeah, well, Billy Gunn is like 6'5", 270 back in his day.
So yeah, it's fun. Yeah, I like it. Good show.
I'm watching a show called Hollywood Cycle on the E Network. As you might anticipate, it's a show about a spin gym called Cycle House, which is very popular with the Hollywood stars in LA. I mean, these legit have people you know well coming in and taking these classes. And basically the premise is there's three instructors who are kind of like the it instructors. Maybe they lead you to believe in town. I don't know. But, I mean, they sell out their classes, like, really fast. Like, I don't know if it's like getting a reservation at a good restaurant or what it's like. But it's the dynamic of those three with three other young trainers that are trying to become trainers there in the spin gym. And also takes you into kind of some out of work life and a possible budding romance between one of the younger girls and one of the established men. So it's not all that dissimilar from the Jackie Warner shows back in the day on Bravo, but a little more updated and a little more balance between the male and female characters.
Wasn't there a show last summer, the two girls who were trying to start like a...
Yeah, this is, I would say it's probably better than that, at least so far. That was called Toned Up on Bravo.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
With Karina and Katrina. But, so yeah, I'm watching Hollywood Cycle. It's not the worst show. It's not the best show. I'm watching it though.
That's nice.
I wasn't going to talk about this one, and I'll just mention I'm watching another show. It's not really a reality show, but it does star a reality star. And that's Brody Jenner's got a new show, and you know everybody knows I love Brody Jenner.
Are you watching his sex show or whatever?
Yeah, well, I'd listened to his podcast before, and that's what it is basically. They're filming his podcast.
Mm.
And he has a celebrity guest on each week. It's him, Stevie Ryan, who's this female comedian. He's got Dr. Mike Dowd, who started the podcast with him. He's a relationships kind of doctor. And then they have a celebrity guest on for probably half the show, the other half that they're just kind of talking.
So it's like this. It's like this generation's Love Line.
Kind of. It's very, very similar to that. Although I don't think they take call-ins because it's hard, as we know, it's hard to take call-ins on a podcast. But you said you were also watching something over on Bravo, Dano.
Yeah, I'm checking out Million Dollar Listings. They have a New York version, LA version. They earlier did a Miami version, and now they're doing a San Francisco version. So it's only, I think we're only like two episodes in. I'm still kind of feeling it out. I'm more interested in it's kind of a weird situation because I don't know if you've been following like the San Francisco real estate market, but there's a big...
I can't say that I have.
There's a big kerfuffle between basically the, let's say, local San Francisco people and all the Silicon Valley engineers and designers who are making millions of dollars. And so and what's happening in the real world is these engineers at Apple and Google and Facebook and whatnot are buying up all the San Francisco real estate and they're competing against each other. And so they're taking like, your average house and making it worth 10 times what it really is, and buying and selling it for that. And it's really pricing the average worker out of living in San Francisco. So there's there's a whole debate going on that. So I'm kind of going to see, I'm really watching it to see how they, if they tackle that problem, but they really haven't brought it up yet. So.
Gotcha.
We'll see.
There for a minute, you mentioned out in the real world, Dan, and you hit me with some news the other day about the real world.
Yes. Casting's official.
My dreams will continue.
Like they haven't announced anything. They haven't announced a live date or a city or anything like that. But if you go to Brenna Murray's Real World page, they have casting dates out there. So that means they're probably going to do another season.
Yeah, if they're actively casting, or unless they're going to go out and cast and say, we didn't really catch anything we liked, then maybe then they don't. But
Nate, what one city would you think they'll go to?
You told me you wanted to do this. Let's do this. You told me to come up with two cities, right?
Yeah, come up with two cities.
All right. I have one.
I'll do my. I think one they haven't done.
There's one city that's the biggest city in the country that they haven't done.
What's that?
Atlanta.
Okay. See, I was gonna go. I was gonna do like Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Okay.
Like, that's a young city. That's some people consider that like the Austin of the North.
It's like I think that would be Portland, and if you ask me,
that's the Northwest. That's okay. Not the North. Or the Midwest. Okay, also the Midwest. Or mid, whatever you want to call that.
They won't do that, Dan, because they would have to be filming it right now. Because they can't film
in the winter. Yeah, you can't film in the winter. They could do a spring filming.
That's maybe. Pretty far out, though.
Yeah, well, they're still casting.
Right. Okay, so that's one of yours. Do you have your second one while I think of my second one, or should I think something up real quick?
Oh, well, I think if I was going to do a second one, my other guess would be something they'd done already. And I would say, like, an L.A.
Yeah, well, haven't they done... Well, they did Hollywood.
They did Hollywood, which, you know, I wouldn't say it's L.A. I don't know. I could see them doing, like, an L.A. or...
I
could see them doing L.A. again.
My two leaders for a recycle would be Miami.
Oh, that's a good one.
And then maybe Austin.
No, I don't see them coming.
You think they would ever do Dallas? A lot of reality shows in Dallas.
Yeah, but I don't think young, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see them doing Dallas or Houston. So my picks would be Minneapolis or LA. In LA too, you could do it real quick. If you like, let's say they're behind schedule, you could whip up an LA crew and house probably pretty quickly.
Yeah, probably. I mean, make things happen.
Maybe Seattle. Go back today. You know, it's been a while since I've been to Seattle.
Yeah, I think you could go back to Seattle or Miami. Some from the early. You've done a couple in San Francisco. You've done a couple in Chicago. You've done a couple in Vegas. You've done three in New York, if you count Brooklyn.
What if they do, like, Queens?
that would be a different show, not called The Real World.
Long Island.
The Jersey Shore. Let's move on from there. I got a little news here. I like to talk about Bachelor in Paradise, right? There is a piece of paper out there that there's a photo of on the internet. Have you seen this, Dan?
A piece of paper on the internet? No, I haven't seen it.
It is the rooming list for Bachelor in Paradise.
Did they have rooms, or this is all kind of like...
Well, I think this is at the hotel. So okay. Like night one, and then it has dates next to each person's name of the day they're supposed to be there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna run through this. See what you like. At the top of the list, we have two rooms: one for Mike Fleiss and one for a Catherine Seldon. All incidentals for everyone are to be charged to those two rooms, or at least allowed for those two rooms. Carly Waddell, who we previously knew, Tinley from I think Jake's season, is on. Tanner from this season. Ashley Mesa Verde Salter. Ashley. Kardashian. There's a second person on this list, though. Same last name as Ashley, Ian Canetti, named Lauren. Curious what that's all about. And then Jonathan, the guy with the kid and play flat top this season. Jade from last season of The Bachelor. Dan, who was kind of a ho-hum guy. I think we're big on him going into... Andy's season, and then he fizzled out. Black Box Jillian. Jonathan Lane, which maybe you can do a quick Google there, Dan, while I'm going through this, and let me know who that is. Jared, Scraggle Jared is there. Crazy Claire is there. So before we had reported Claire wasn't, but she indeed is. She's in the initial group. Julia, the single mother. The widowed mother, Kirk DeWitt, who he was a popular face in seasons past, and then Mikey T. So that's your original cast that's going to be there. And tell me who Jonathan Lane is.
He was on this season, I believe. He was on this season of The Bachelor. He was with Caitlin.
Not a memorable guy.
Not a memorable guy. I'm trying to think what he would if he did anything memorable.
Oh, okay. Wait, no. Jonathan Lane is the guy with the high top fade from this season. I think the other Jonathan that I read his name. I think he is the creepy guy that cornered. Was it Andy or was it Desiree? Like the first night, his name was Jonathan too, I believe. I got to get to the bottom of this one, Dan. Oh, this is an
investigation.
We'll do some follow up there. But the people that are going to come in after the word, they're coming in this order: Josh the welder, Joe from Kentucky, and then a couple of Mike Fleiss's. When Mike Fleiss's kids are going to show up, probably not on the show. Michael G, I believe he was an attorney. He was on last season of Bachelor in Paradise. Megan, Sammy Steffen, who was just on Chris Soules' season. She was the brunette girl. Justin, the personal trainer from this season. Nick, the guy that screwed over Rachel Trueheart on the third season of Bachelor Pad at the end. He's back. Chelsea, who was on somewhat recently, can't remember exactly when. Jacqueline Swartz, who's been a staple of this franchise for a while, she's back. There's a girl on here named listed as Desiree Dianigi. I looked her up. That's actually Mackenzie from last season, the very, very young single mother. And then Cassandra, that's Ronnie Stuckey's baby mama.
Oh, okay.
She's back. But I had heard that they had gotten back together, so I guess apparently since they got back together, they got back untogether again. So pretty solid little piece of paper that leaked out here from the Bachelor in Paradise filming. So that's the full crew, Dana.
No, we're only, 17 days away, so I'm sure we'll find out more then.
17 days out. Any other news for you, my man?
I think we covered it.
All right. Hit them with where they can find us on the interwebs.
You can find us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, or like our Facebook page, The After Reality TV Podcast.
And we already gave our Twitter info at the top of the show. Hit us up. Leave us some feedback either on Twitter or on iTunes. We look forward to catching up with you. We'll see you next week, unless the men tell all is not very tell all-ish. But we'll see you soon, next week or the following week. Until then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV Podcast.